After last year's fungal meningitis outbreak, lawmakers said never again. Today, 22 Michiganders are dead, and more than 700 people are sick nationwide. And it's all because a single Massachusetts pharmacy made contaminated drugs and sent them out to doctors all across the country. This week, a federal prosecutor says the criminal investigation into that pharmacy is moving ahead. And Congress recently passed a bill that's supposed to prevent another epidemic. But is this just a bunch of grandstanding? Does any of this actually give victims justice? Michigan Radio's Kate Wells has been investigating for the last year now, and she's here to give us the inside story. Welcome, Kate.
Hi, Cindy. Thanks for having me.
So, real quick, remind us again how this all began.
It started with bad back pain injections. And, Cindy, let me ask before we get going, do you know anybody who goes and gets these back pain injections?
I do, and I have to say he just can't wait. You know, that it just matters so much to get that injection to control his back.
Yeah, a lot of us know somebody who really relies on these things. Mm-hmm. And these back pain shots are this massively growing industry. You'll know what I mean when you think of any time you drive past a pain clinic or you open a paper and you see ads for pain management. These are places that are often going to do steroid injections. They're going to put them right near your spine, and that's supposed to really help back pain. There is a lot of debate in the medical community about whether these are actually effective, but plenty of people, like your friend, it sounds like, will tell you these are the only things that actually help. So that's what these were. The way that they went bad is that doctors are supposed to be getting these drugs from drug makers, right? I mean, we think of like the big guys, Pfizer.
Sure.
We assume that that's where our doctors go and get their drugs when we come into their clinics and they inject us with something.
Yeah.
Not the case in this time. They were actually getting these drugs from something called a compounding pharmacy. None of us had ever heard that term before fungal meningitis, but essentially they just do individual prescriptions. They're like your old-timey apothecary. You go in, you need a pill made into a cream, the doctor gives a prescription, and the pharmacist sends it back. They are, and I cannot stress this enough, they are not supposed to make meds in bulk. Because they're just not overseen by the FDA. But this Massachusetts pharmacy, the one that caused all of the trouble, they were making huge shipments of these bulk medications. And as we now know, they were shipping them out all over the place. And their drugs became contaminated. How bad? When I talk with people who have actually gone in and seen the clinic, they talk about actually being able to see black particles in these vials that were then injected directly into people's backs. One of the women who died here in Michigan, her name was Karina Baxter. She was in her 50s. Her daughter, Anita, is now actually suing the New England Compounding Center.
I don't even care about the lawsuit. These people, they kill people. They're murderers. They need to go to prison, not lose their money.
So it's been more than a year now. Has anybody gone to prison, or are they going to prison?
We don't know yet. Nobody's gone to jail yet, though, and it's been incredibly frustrating for these victims and their families because so much of what's going on, this investigation and this probe into whether or not there was criminal misconduct, it's all behind closed doors.
Ooh.
There's a federal grand jury. There's criminal probes in Massachusetts and Michigan. They just teamed up. And while the pharmacy is bankrupt now, and it'll probably end up paying a lot of money in a lawsuit, when you actually divide it up, lawyers I talk to say it's going to be very little for individual families and victims themselves.
Well, meantime, Congress is making lots of noise about keeping this kind of epidemic from ever happening again. They passed a bill recently giving the FDA the power to crack down on bad pharmacies. But what matters, Kate, is whether this bill could actually prevent another fungal meningitis outbreak.
It depends on who you talk to. Let me be straight up with you, Cindy. There are plenty of critics. Even the FDA will tell you in their FDA language, well, it's not everything that we hoped for, which is the federal government way of saying it doesn't have a lot of teeth. But before we get too critical, we should admit that it is progress because it makes the rules clear. At least it says, okay, if you're a pharmacy and if you're outsourcing a lot of drugs, the FDA at least has power to oversee what you're doing. Here's the twist.
Okay.
Pharmacies have to volunteer themselves for this oversight.
Really?
So if I'm a pharmacy and you're the FDA, I have to say, Cindy, I would really like you to come in and give me some extra regulations because I'm making a lot of these drugs. So you should check me out. And oh, by the way, I have to pay you a fine for the privilege of that oversight. It's probably going to be about $15,000.
So why in the world would any compounding pharmacy say, okay, sign me up for this extra expensive regulation?
Right. That is the million-dollar question. Basically, the FDA is crossing their fingers and hoping that clinics and hospitals will say, oh man, we are only going to buy from pharmacies that have this special FDA seal of approval, this good housekeeping seal of approval. And they say, and they being lawmakers and the FDA, they say that the extra fine is important and it's worth it because the FDA is already overworked, they're understaffed, and there's something like 7,500 compounding centers out there. So maybe that'll work. Maybe if the public is aware that this FDA seal of approval is out there, when you next go in to get your back pain injections, you're going to say, "Hi, doctor, is this thing been approved by the FDA?" And the doctors may want to tell you, "Yes, it has been." That's an assumption, though. And we also have to be careful and remember that if I, say, run a sketchy pharmacy and I want to keep my prices cutthroat so that doctors and clinics want to come buy from me, I may not change what I'm doing at all. So the ultimate question is this law going to actually stop another epidemic like the fungal meningitis outbreak? Hopefully it will. It may mean more big outsourcing pharmacies get better oversight, but if doctors and clinics decide they don't really care about the FDA seal of approval on these back pain medications, then no, it will not stop this from happening again.
Michigan Radio's Kate Wells has been reporting on the fungal meningitis outbreak for almost a year now. Kate, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Cindy.